Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Monday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Over the weekend, Abigail Spanberger was inaugurated as Virginia's 75th governor. Michael Pope was there and has this report about her inaugural address.
Abigail Ann Davis Spanberger used her inaugural address to call for unity, casting herself as a kind of alternative to President Donald Trump. She never said his name, but the implications were clear.
Our hardworking, law-abiding immigrant neighbors will know that when we say we will focus on the security and safety of all of our neighbors, we mean them too.
Spanberger ran through the history of the suffragist movement and talked about the importance of a peaceful transfer of power. She pledged to work for Virginians who are worried about what's happening in Washington.
You are worried about an administration that is gilding buildings while schools crumble, breaking the social safety net and sowing fear across our communities, betraying the values of who we are as Americans, the very values that we celebrate here on these steps.
Spanberger has another major speech Monday afternoon to a joint assembly of the House and Senate. I'm Michael Pope.
You can hear her speech to the General Assembly in its entirety tonight at 7 on Radio IQ. With the governor's inauguration Saturday, she issued a series of day one executive orders. Among them is giving her the option to end a relationship initiated by former Governor Glenn Youngkin between Virginia State Police and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Brad Kuttner has this story.
According to numbers obtained by the Virginian Pilot, as of November, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, had detained over 6,200 people since former Governor Glenn Youngkin entered into a 287G agreement with the federal agency early last year. That agreement deputizes Virginia State Police to assist ICE in its roundup of residents. And Saturday, shortly after her inauguration, Governor Abigail Spanberger signed an order that gives her, quote, the option to remove Virginia State Police from this agreement. When asked if or when she expected the relationship between the state and federal agencies to end, the spokesperson declined to comment. Luis Aguilar with the group CASA told Radio IQ he was seeing pictures, though unverified, of alleged ICE enforcement stretching from Henrico County up to Woodbridge and beyond.
ICE is going door to door. That does not build a safer community. Just because a president chooses to be and utilize authoritarian tactics and terrorize a specific and scapegoat a community, that we absolutely say, no, we cannot allow that.
President Donald Trump has called states and localities that fail to enter these agreements with ICE sanctuary cities. Virginia House Minority Leader Terry Kilgore called any breakdown in the agreement, quote, reckless, but Ashland resident and poet Sherry Burton, among the crowd for Saturday's inauguration, thinks Spanberger is ready for whatever Trump sends to the Commonwealth.
If he thinks he's going to send ICE here in Richmond, Virginia, hey, he's barking up the wrong tree.
In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Thousands attended Governor Spanberger's inauguration Saturday. Among them was Richmond podcaster Fennell Norton. She said she hopes Spanberger addresses what she called fair elections, including a mid-district redraw of Virginia's congressional maps.
What's going to be the most important thing is that we have maps that are fair, that take the that look at us like we're looking at Texas and the other states that have already done redistricting, because they're not done in a way that I think promotes voting equality in this country. So for us, it really is about fair elections.
Norton was among an estimated 5,000 attendees for Saturday's big event that saw Spanberger enter the governor's mansion alongside Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi and Attorney General Jay Jones. Coming up in a few minutes, women hold more posts in the Virginia legislature than ever before, and they're increasingly in powerful positions.
The nature of the legislature has certainly changed.
So where does Virginia's representation stack up against other states? Fred Eccles and Cardinal News columnist Wayne Yancey discuss that, their conversation up in a little bit. Governor Abigail Spanberger has appointed 27 new members to university boards. That includes 10 at the University of Virginia, where 5 members appointed by former Governor Glenn Youngkin were asked to resign just before her inauguration. They included the rector and vice rector. The changes at UVA come shortly after the prior board named a new president, Scott Beardsley, against Spanberger's wishes that members wait until after she took office. Her five appointees to the board at Virginia Military Institute include former Governor Ralph Northam. Governor Spanberger also appointed 12 new members to the board at George Mason University. Virginia's governors traditionally wear morning suits for their inaugurations, but for her swearing-in on Saturday, Governor Spanberger, the first woman to fill that role, dressed in white, the color of women's suffrage. According to a guide to Virginia protocol and traditions, males in the official party wear morning coats, formal daytime suits with long tails, and women wear dark suits for the inauguration. The new governor's white outfit, which included a long white coat with gold buttons paired with white gloves, appeared to be a nod to the women's suffrage movement that led to American women securing the right to vote. Franklin County residents in the local branch of the NAACP unveiled a monument Sunday to 70 black men from the county who fought for the United States Colored Troops. Organizers say the monument helps tell a fuller story of the county's participation in the Civil War. Mason Adams was there.
Franklin County has long celebrated its links to the Confederacy, but on Sunday, residents remembered a different connection to the Civil War as a community movement called Raising the Shade unveiled a statue honoring 70 black men from Franklin County who fought for the Union. Larry Moore is a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army who spoke as drapes fell and revealed the statue to hundreds of people in attendance.
And now with humility and reverence, we say to those who were born in bondage, who labored in slavery, and who nonetheless served this country with honor, especially the 70 United States colored troops born in Franklin County, we say, welcome home, Americans.
Raphael Sears is an actor and genealogist who traveled from Kansas City to see the memorial and the engraving of the name of his great-great-great-grandfather, Private Peter Hooks. Sears says he's been researching Hooks for years, but kept running into a roadblock because Hooks actually joined the Union Army in Tennessee. But his research turned up a genealogical profile assembled by Raising the Shade.
And I was like, oh my gosh, who knows? Somebody knows Peter Hooks? I feel like our ancestors find ways for their descendants to know who they are.
The new monument is one of fewer than 25 around the country honoring the U.S. colored troops. In Rocky Mount, I'm Mason Adams.
The new Virginia House of Delegates includes 43 women, the most ever in that chamber. Dwayne Yancey with Cardinal News spoke with Fred Eccles about the gains women have made in the legislature.
Dwayne, in the percentage of women in the legislature, Virginia is not quite in the top 10, but right on the doorstep at number 11.
Yeah, Virginia's about, I think, 42.1% of the General Assembly is comprised of women. There are three states where a majority of the legislators are women. Number one is Nevada, with 61.9%, actually. And then New Mexico and Colorado are also both majority female legislatures. We are also right next door to the state with the lowest female representation in the state, and that's West Virginia, where only 11.9% of the legislators are women.
And in Richmond, women are not only there, but they're also holding positions of power in the assembly.
Yeah, some of this is not new. I mean, several years ago, we had a woman as Speaker of the House, Eileen Fillercorn. She's gone. The House Majority Leader, Charmel Herring of Alexandria, is a woman. Senator Louise Lucas, who chairs the Senate Finance Committee, which you can't refer to unless you say the powerful Senate Finance Committee. I think that's required by law, probably.
Noted.
Before her was another woman, Janet Howell, chaired the Senate Finance Committee then. The nature of the legislature has certainly changed. For the past several years, when Governor Youngkin delivered his State of the Commonwealth address, seated behind him on the dais there, you had the lieutenant governor, who was a woman, and you had the Senate pro tem, Louise Lucas, who was a woman. When Governor Spanberger gives her addresses to the General Assembly, sitting behind her will be two women, Lieutenant Governor Ghazala Hashmi and Louise Lucas, pro tem of the Senate.
And Dwayne, you add some historical context here that many people may not know about. Soon after the 19th Amendment was adopted, there were some women elected to the Virginia legislature.
First women elected to the General Assembly were in 1923, and there were two of them that year. One was Sarah Fain from Norfolk, and the other was Helen Henderson from Buchanan County. And in the early days, by that I mean the 1920s, most of the women who were elected to the General Assembly came from Southwest Virginia. There were women elected from, as I said, Buchanan County, from Galax, from Martinsville. This was the part of the state that was the most open-minded about the gender divide in politics. And when Helen Henderson died in office, she was eventually succeeded by her daughter, who's also Helen Henderson.
Duane, there has also been a tremendous acceleration of turnover in the Virginia General Assembly, and this has led some people to wonder if perhaps institutional memory is being lost. Why the concern?
People don't give enough credit, I think, to institutional memory. There's a saying in Richmond, legislators tend to regard governors as temporary administrators. Governors come and go, but the legislature is forever. Yeah, that's what the governor wants, but we're the legislature and we have a longer view of things. Well, that only works when you have a legislature with a long memory, because yeah, a lot of times you have legislators who remember, well, you know, 10 years ago, we said we were going to do this in 10 years. Someone has an idea and forgets, well, you know, we tried that once and it didn't work, and here's why.
Duane Yancey is with CardinalNews.org. I'm Fred Eccles.
Cardinal News is a nonprofit online independent news organization covering Southwest and Southside Virginia. Now a look at a chilly forecast. Very cold starting out the work week, warmer Wednesday. Mostly sunny today, but chilly and breezy, especially along and west of the Blue Ridge. We're expecting highs in the upper 20s to around 40 for Roanoke, 44 for Richmond and Danville. Extreme cold under clear skies tonight. Lows in the single digits and teens around 20 for Fredericksburg. Winds will die down some overnight. More sunshine Tuesday, but we're cold and a little breezy, with highs in the upper 20s to mid-30s across the listening area. And we'll see more sunshine Wednesday, although more clouds will work into the region later in the day, breezy and warmer, highs in the low to mid-40s. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. And a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.